speed of innovation is changing drastically. We think that advisors in the next probably 18 months are going to have a very different way to interact with the way they manage clients.
Hey everyone, Derek Schwartz, your host for the Advisor Lab. On today's episode, our guest is Robbie Ramadi, co-founder and CEO at Advantos.ai.
Well, first, thank you for coming on the show, because obviously what your company's doing is all the rage right now. I mean, AI, anything with AI right now is like all the rage, of course. But having covered RIAs now, personally, from a fundraising standpoint now, since 2012, I've watched that market really evolve. And I don't mean like in terms of the amount of money they raise and how much advisors are leaving wires and going to them. I just mean in terms of like the tools they have. And it's incredible. So when I saw, you know, co-founder, CEO at Advantos and what you're doing, I was super excited because I want to understand it better, because there's so many different tech platforms and tools now. It's getting very convoluted. And AI, of course, is all the rage. How do you make it work for you? You know, so, but I live outside Philly. The company's in New York. I'm in New York City today. I'm trying to get out as soon as I can before the New York Knicks parade, right? So are you in New York too?
Yeah, in downtown. But I'm in the Philly suburbs every other week with our clients there. So,
so you started this company, what, 2014? Is that right?
2024.
Oh, 2024. Okay. So pretty recent, but you've been at this a while. What was the, I guess, the pain point kind of in your mind from like the wealth management space that led you to feel like this was an opportunity to build something like Advantos?
So yeah, Derek, I've been around this, we call the client lifecycle management space for a long time in my consulting life, in my prior startup. And what I have seen consistently across wealth, by the way, not just wealth, every financial service segment, is a very common pattern, which is a lot of fragmentation in the way you manage a client.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I think of a client is when the client, when somebody say, okay, I want to become a client, and you start onboarding them to your business for one or multiple products. And then once they become a client, doing all the ongoing servicing for them, including them, offering them new products, all of that process is super fragmented in the industry. And my co-founder and I thought there has to be a better way to do it. And it's through building an operating system specifically only focusing on that space. And we built it because it was 2024. We built it AI native from the beginning. An architecture that we think is pretty unique in terms of how to tackle a space like that.
So I hear a lot of presentations and pitches around sort of getting all these different responsibilities to interface and to streamline them and make it work with your tech stack and all of these things. So I just want to, our audience, a lot of independent advisors, a lot of RIAs, right? These are firms anywhere from 200 million to 10 billion. Probably a lot of the folks that obviously could use what you're building or have built. They bring a client on with $10 million. They are going to take over all their positions. They got to go through that onboarding process and then manage their portfolio, put it with different platforms, maybe a separately managed account, maybe some models and ETFs. They're going to build all this. And then they have the operation aspect of it. They may take on insurance, all these different aspects of what they're doing. Is your tool, your technology, is that what it's doing? It's helping to bring all that to one place where they can manage all of that in one place? Or is it's just a front end part? It's still being managed by all the different third party vendors.
It's a combination of both. So okay. We're not trying to become a trading system. Okay. We're not trying to be a system to issue UMAs. Like, we're not doing that. Or we're not trying to become a financial planning, tax planning tool. There are specialized systems in the space to do a good job for more or less. What is a lag is basically a way to holistically bring it all together and manage the client. So all these systems are provide services for a specific part of the client journey, but there's no way currently for an advisor to holistically look at the client as a household and look at all the products they own and should they own and the people servicing them. So what we did is we built an operating system that brings an underlying data to basically be able to manage holistically the clients, their products, as well as all the people touching them across the organization, whether it's the financial planners or the tax planner or the advisor, in a holistic way, and enable AI to proactively help the advisors or the operations people to proactively service the client versus having to rely on a human to remember to do something for Derek that they may or may not remember given human nature.
So it's also almost like taking some of the effectiveness of CRMs, a tool where you can help me as the advisor to stay proactive in terms of whatever responsibilities I need to make sure I'm fulfilling as far as the client management relationship?
It does way more than this, because the CRM typically, and I did a lot of work in the CRM space in prior life, it focused on the customer, so they know who the client is.
Yeah.
But the CRM typically don't know. They don't know all the products that currently are offered to the client, the product that the client has with you, the custodian relationship, the client. The CRM doesn't know that. So for us, we have the holistic view, not just on the client household, but all the products too. And then what we do is not only we recommend the actions on the things you should do to service the client, but also the execution of the work. So it's one thing to say, okay, I have a call with the client, and based on the call, the client is a newborn, the family, and they're eligible for a 529 account. So the AI, in our case, not only detect the event, but once the advisor and the client agrees to open the 529, we go and open the account with whoever the custodian is. So I am detecting the event, I'm recommending the event, I'm pre-filling the data I need to open a 529 based on the client call or based on whatever the record currently exists. And then I'm going and integrating with the underlying custodians and doing the funding and the margining and all of this stuff in one shot.
Wait, hold on. So I've got a client, they have a child, it gets updated in the CRM. This technology is going to recommend it. You should reach out to this client about 529. I do. I put in there, okay, client wants to own it. This technology is going to now initiate the actual processing of opening the account. They call the custodian. They pre-populate the paperwork. And then all it needs to do is directly get sent on a digitization basis. It gets sent to the client, to eDoc, whatever.
And the funding.
And the really, funding. And it. What about, let's say, for example, I built a big position in NVIDIA, and NVIDIA misses earnings. And it has a record of every client I have that has NVIDIA in it. Does this technology, is it going to immediately alert me? NVIDIA missed earnings, stock's down 17% today. You should reach out to these 200 clients.
It depends on the rules you want to set in the system, but you can say, okay, if the portfolio of the client goes below 10%, for example, reach out to the client, have a discussion. What we don't do, though, we don't recommend like offloading some of the NVIDIA stock. That's not the space we're in, but we definitely trigger the alert. Because by the way, like the advisor, let's say, has 200, 300 clients. There's no human way for them to look at every client portfolio across account household. The idea for us, or it can be like, by the way, 5 of your 100 clients have excess cash on their accounts. You should reach out to these clients and say, by the way, you should go and invest the excess cash. So all the things typically that requires human expertise for people to look at a sets of basically portfolio and clients, now the triggering of these is automated. And by the way, if you want to do a portfolio rebalancing, we're not the trading system, but you agree on the client a new portfolio allocation. All the stuff is captured in Aventos, and then we send the instruction to the trading system. We have direct integrations where we can send this instruction and trigger an IPS change or a portfolio rebalancing. But all the orchestration, the workflow, the client communication in this case happens on the platform, on our platform.
So it sounds like that's where you find your technology in terms of how it's using AI to be most impactful is in that quadrant of their sort of day-to-day, daily operational needs.
And recommendation for like new services. So again, based on an email, a client transcript, a change in your text, basically profile, recommend additional products that will be beneficial for the client based on these patterns. Or if you see a pattern of a lot of cash outflow, you probably have a churn risk with the client. You may want to return the client for that.
So is the brain of your technology really, you can set it, right, with preconditioned sort of directions you want to go. So is the primary focus on how to generate revenue for the advisor's business? Is it focused on where's cash flow going? Where's revenue coming from? Where are you losing or not making as much revenue as you could? Is that kind of the precondition of the way you structured the organizing intelligence of this technology?
Yes, and in the same time, do it at scale. Because what you don't want to do is come with tons of recommendation,
right,
and have somebody in operation manually execute on each of these recommendations. Because then, yeah, it's good for the revenue, it's bad for the operational scale, for the cost structure. So we're doing both at the same time. That same AI agent is going all the way to operations,
right,
all the way to the custodian, the core systems, to basically STP the whole flow so you can have operational scale in addition to the revenue scale.
Well, advisors have, like all of us, they're already using a lot of technology, the software. Do you have examples where advisors have figured out how to make their tech stack effective alongside this technology that you're incorporating? Is that a difficult transition?
It's very typical for us, and we have already deep integration in the wealth ecosystem. So I don't need the client to tell me how to integrate with Fidelity or Schwab or right. Pershing or Orion or Salesforce. All these for us is pre-built integrations. We know exactly the architecture. We have a team that has deep expertise in the space, so we guarantee the outcome. We are the one making sure the advisor will adopt the platform. And by the way, what we did is even before we launched the company, we already had the first version of the product in production with the big RIA. So we did not build it in a void. We built it with knowing the industry, knowing what the advisor wants to see, what the operational person wants to see, and knowing what is the wealth ecosystem. Because for me to come and say, okay, by the way, for you to make it successful, disrupt everything you have, nobody will go with this, right?
No.
And we built it to be also open architecture. So we realized people want to be multi-custodian. So we have integration with different custodians. Some people want to have multiple CRMs. Some people want multiple portfolio management solutions. The architecture allows for that. And by the way, the AI even itself, the secret sauce for us, Derek, is that data layer foundation that models the client, the product, and the people servicing them in a very sophisticated approach powered by a knowledge graph, which is a graph way to represent client products and agents. And that architecture is open architecture. So we have our own AI agents that sit on top of it. Because for AI to be effective, Derek, it needs a context. Every company has a lot of data. There's no shortage of data. So you have the portfolio data, you have the client data, but the problem is disconnected and doesn't have a context. For the AI to be effective, it's not enough for them to know who the client is. They need to know the clients, the products, and everything there around them. We have our own AI agent that sits on top of it, but we are totally okay and open it up for others to put their own AI agents. So we're not going to have a tax specialist AI agents. People want to build a tax AI agent for some tax advice, they can tap into our knowledge graph. We're totally open for that, and we build the architecture from day one to be totally open for these scenarios.
Wow. I'm not, obviously, I don't know. I don't know enough to know what you don't know, but it seems like that's a really, it's a really big risk. Maybe I'm wrong for you, but you built something, I'm assuming it's proprietary, it's your intellectual property, right? You built your own AI system, but you're allowing it to be completely open like that so everyone can sort of structure their your tech experience perfectly with their context. Because I understand what you're saying. It's like the more information you give AI, the better job it can do of building what you need. It's just
a lot of us,
like for me, because I'm not a tech guy, but I've been using AI for 2 years in my industry. And it's sometimes you just don't even know what you should be telling it. You don't even like you're like, obviously, I see people doing the same thing I'm doing, but they're getting way better results because they're better students. Well, you got to tell it to do this. You got to tell it to do that. You got to give. I'm like, I didn't even think about that.
Obviously, it needs the governance. So we're not saying like if a client of us wants to launch a text AI agent on top of our knowledge graph, they have to have the expertise and the people to do it.
Right.
But what we're doing, we're giving them the data and the context that is very usable for them to build it versus to have to do it from scratch. That's right. The big difference. And we already created all the infrastructure for that. Because what we believe, Derek, like in the AI age, you can't have a closed ecosystem. You can't say, only use my AI agents.
Right.
You can, but you can be very much limited in terms of the value you bring to clients. What you really want to do, you want to have your own AI agent that sits on top of your platform, but also allow others to build on top of it. Because then you can build an ecosystem versus a feature or a specifically a narrow solution.
So, Robbie, do you think is that the differentiator, or is it something else that, like, I mean, it's a very competitive market now. There's a lot of different players in your space.
Yep.
Are they mostly out there saying, you know, we're not open architecture, and you are, and is that what you feel is a big differentiator, or is it just you feel like you have a smarter technology?
You lead with the second one. We have a smart technology because what we build is an architecture, a complex architecture for an operating system. That works, by the way, for the folks you mentioned, for like $1 billion RIA or $10 billion RIA, or works for a Vanguard or for a Mercer or for an SCI. So we can scale in a very big way. And that's why we have big clients as a young company who decide to adopt us as a core platform. Because we architected it in a way that we can allow for a lot of scaling because of our background, because we always worked in complex environments and we know how to build a very sophisticated architecture that others wouldn't have in this space.
Yeah, I mean, not only you have some big names as clients, but big investors.
They did it for a reason. And these companies don't just go and invest in anyone. Like, they are very careful in how to invest. And these are,
of course,
one investment. These are not funds investments. Also, the VC firms who led our funding rounds have super high reputation in the market. So they all did that because they believed in the approach that we adopted for the industry, which is very holistic in nature and allows for the scaling. In a way that we think is pretty unique.
So I'm going to imagine that these partnerships have helped you too in terms of the evolving of your product, your platform, your technology. Once you get to see and hear from these folks, how is this being used and how is it making you effective? What are the challenges? Like, what role do your industry partners kind of play as far as the growth of Advantos?
Big time. We view them as all partners for us. So we, by the way, clients for us is equal to partner. That's our philosophy. That's how we build the business.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we grew up our career, myself and my co-founder. And that's the best way to win in this market. When you have clients who are actually partners, who wants you to be successful, you're always going to get ahead. And especially if they are influential in the market, you're always going to spot the next trends. And once you can deploy in a complex environment and you have a lot of usage, like our clients have a lot of usage. They are big institutions.
Sure.
you're going to have the product and R&D really focus in a way that will make you successful in the market.
So what are like some big difference or big changes that you're contemplating or starting to think about in terms of how you evolve your technology, how partners use it, how advisors are going to, how's this going to change the private wealth market in your mind? Is like, is it a 3-5 year thing, or do you see some major changes just in terms of how fast this technology is developing?
It's faster than what we ever thought when we started the company, Derek. Like literally, even by our own standards, though, even the way we do things, every 4 weeks we rethink about it. Because literally the pace is changing so quickly. The speed of innovation is changing drastically. We think the advisors in the next probably 18 months are going to have a very different way to interact with the way they manage clients. That chat experience, that AI chat experience is going to be one of the main way they're going to interact with the app, where they can say, okay, based on all these event meeting, they're going to just talk to it and say, trigger a distribution for Derek. And then it will just go and happen and somebody in operations is going to finish it. So I think a major change in the way in that interaction, we're spending a lot of time on R&D on that. And the second thing where we're spending a lot of time is on the conversions between products. And you know this more than anybody else. Wealth managers want to open up the platform to not just investment products. They want to sell private market products, insurance products, banking products. On the flip side, insurance company and banks are doing the same thing. Everybody wants to be in the wealth space. Mm-hmm. So we see that conversions, and a big part of the platform is we're multi-product, where we are not only supporting the wealth products, the investment products, but soon we're going to be able to support annuities, life insurance, banking products. That will give the maximum flexibility in terms of how you cover a client, because you should cover the client for multiple products, whether it's investment or insurance or banking.
And your users, your clients are truly from, are they below a billion RIAs to massive firms like Vanguard, or do you guys have more of a sweet spot generally where the pricing points and the, you know, what they can really do in terms of the size of the firm to take real true advantage of what you offer sort of doesn't always, you know, match depending on the size and of the firm?
Currently, we're focusing on the more bigger space, but with partners, we are now, we have a number of clients that we're going to start working with them soon that are in the billion to 30 billion space, which we have not done before.
Okay.
But we're going to have a number of these clients. Probably we're not going to go below a billion for now.
Yeah.
Eventually, we will with partners. But
yeah, of course, as it scales.
And bandwidth. So I would say a billion plus. And this is where you can start seeing the need to scale in a big way. If you're billion, 2 billion, heading towards the 5 billion, multi-custodian, this is where you're going to be like looking for a way to scale your business.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the technology will have the biggest impact.
Well, this has been terrific. I really appreciate you coming on the show. I can't even imagine where your business is going to be in 25, 36 months and further out, because I'm all over the country, meeting with a lot of these advisor firms, big ones, all these aggregators, and the business is just growing so rapidly. And the consolidation, right? I'm sure from your perspective, especially in that 10 to 30 billion, that's a real sweet spot. A lot of private equity money, a lot of consolidation. Anything that can make them scale and efficient is
increase organic growth, right? Because
yes,
that's obviously a big metric when
it comes right. You can't keep buying forever, you know.
That's exactly right. Derek, we should meet, man.
I would love to.
I have your email here. I'm gonna email you, and let's definitely make a point to meet in the near future.
Yeah, let's connect. I appreciate you coming on, and let's connect in the future. It'll be a lot of fun.
Awesome, man. Pleasure.
This video is for informational purposes only and should not be considered or relied upon as investment advice. It may not be copied, quoted, or referenced without Cyan Investments' prior written consent. Do not rely upon any opinions, predictions, or forward-looking statements contained herein. The views expressed do not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation to purchase securities, nor do they constitute the endorsement of a particular asset class or investment strategy. Neither Scion Investments nor its affiliates and or subsidiaries warrants its completeness or accuracy. Certain information contained in this video may constitute forward-looking statements that may be inherently unreliable, and actual events or results may differ materially from those reflected or contemplated herein. Scion Investments expressly disclaims any obligation or undertaking to update or revise any information included herein. The views expressed by the guests or participants are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Scion Investments, LLC, or any of its subsidiaries, officers, or staff. Please be aware of the real risk of loss in following any investment strategy. No investment strategy or asset class referenced herein is intended to be construed as investment advice. You should make an independent, informed decision regarding any investments or strategies only after reviewing all relevant offering or disclosure documentation with your financial professional, and after considering your objectives, risk tolerance, and best interest before making any investment in any financial product. Registered personnel should review any business development initiatives addressed herein with their respective compliance and legal departments. Coverage of such topics should not be construed as compliance or legal advice. It is at the discretion of each respective firm if such practices are consistent with firm policies and procedures.